all alone. My times of trouble and pain. I used to think there was no one else who felt the cold and rain. Then I woke up to humanity. We were standing hand in hand, and I knew.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Phil Cisneros, for letting us play his song at the beginning of the show. And it's been there for a while, and some of you may be tiring of it, but it really inspires me, actually, when I sit here and listen to the lyrics of that song before the show. So anyway, thank you, Phil. This is John Neeters, Doctor of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine, and I'm here to spend another Thursday morning with you doing some inquiry. Inquiry into the nature of health and healing, any aspects of health care, nutrition, vitamins, supplements, herbs, acupuncture, anything that's up for you, I'd love to look into with you. Please call in. See, this last week did a show that was very much about acupuncture and palpation and how acupuncturists go about their diagnostic process, and particularly channel palpation. So if you're interested in that, that show you can find on our archives. I believe it's already up. If not, it'll be up next week. And, of course, any of the shows that you hear, either on the Monday Balancing Point or the Thursday Balancing Point, are on our archives, and they're indexed. You can go back and find those. So I've got a few things that I want to talk about today, a few things that are kind of troubling, but happening in the world of health. But before I do that, let's go ahead and warm up with a caller. Hi, this is Dr. Neeters.
My name is Harley Baird, and I'm calling from San Pablo, California.
Well, hi, Harley. How you doing?
Not too good.
Not too good, huh? Sorry to hear that.
I got a question. Something's been bothering me for quite a few years, 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
During the day, sometimes, or with me most of the time anyway, this burning sensation in my mouth, and it starts in my tongue, and it goes into my mouth, and it radiates up in the back of my head, and it burns, and just it's aggravating and really burns, almost impossible to bear sometime. And then the doctor finally gave me some Ativan, and I take one half a milligram, and it helps some, but I've been suffering this about 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, and I talked to the doctors about it, and they say they never heard of anything like that. They got the birds.
Well, you need to find a different doctor then. I actually treated a patient last week. She came in for her first appointment, and that's called burning mouth syndrome.
Amen. I finally traced it down to that, and I told the doctor that, and he looked at me like I'm crazy.
Well, you know, this patient that I'm treating had a very similar experience with the doctor she was going to, and then went to, I think she went to UCSF, but went to some specialists, and they said, oh, yeah, burning mouth syndrome. And they didn't have a good treatment for it, but they knew what it was. It's actually not that uncommon.
It's that, and I finally traced a book down from Rodan Prevention, and they said it's a common thing. 1 million or more people have got it all the time.
Yeah, I've run into it a few times, either as the only thing that people were coming to me for, but more often they'd kind of almost given up on any treatment for that, and then while I was questioning them, it would come up. One of the things that happens in medicine, and you know, we've spoken about this on the show, and Dave and I have talked about it, is the pharmaceutical industry. When they have a new drug, they look for conditions, and they'll even make up conditions. There are conditions that didn't even exist in the medical literature, or were not at least given diagnosis codes, ICD-9 codes, until there was a drug to treat them, and then suddenly shows up as a disease. So I suspect what we're dealing with here is that because there is not a drug that successfully treats this, just isn't brought to light. Most training with doctors around pharmaceuticals after they get out of school is really through drug rep. Like you said, it's not that uncommon. So they didn't give you any ideas at all?
No, but the book that I got gives me some ideas, in which it makes sense. I've had some mild depression and anxiety, and they say, the book says, if you treat the anxiety and the depression, a lot of times burning mouth syndrome will be affected by that, go away with that.
That's true. Now, many times there isn't any other condition that this is linked to.
I can't point anything else to it.
Yeah, but anxiety is one of the issues, anxiety and depression one. Some people have allergies to denture materials. So if you have dentures, some people have allergies. Severe acid reflux that someone might not be aware of can cause it. Candida infections, fungal infections can cause that, and that will cause a real severe scalding sensation. And then there's the autoimmune condition called Sjogren's syndrome, which certainly can cause that. That causes severe dryness in the mouth.
Yeah, well.
And that can do it. So those are all things that can do it. Now, we treat it, and I'm with the woman I'm seeing, we're doing some acupuncture, but primarily I'm treating that with her with herbs are the primary thing. She's also going to be taking some alpha lipoic acid and some benfotiamine, generalized B vitamins, just a general. But the alpha lipoic acid is the one thing.
Folic acid?
Alpha. A-L-P-H-A.
Yeah, just a minute.
And then the next word is L-I-P. O is in Oscar. I-C. And then the last word is acid.
A-C-I-D, huh?
Yeah. And so that is the thing that shows up most often in the literature as a nutritional supplement. But you'd certainly want to be doing a lot of high-quality fish oils or krill oil, which will bring down any type of inflammation.
Okay.
So probably 6 grams a day or so of fish oil or maybe 3 capsules of krill oil. And that can help. And so that's kind of what we've started her on. But we're also then doing herbs to clear that heat out.
Yeah.
So I would try with those simple things. Yeah, I'm glad you got the book. There are nutritional deficiencies that have been shown to make that at least worse. But is your mouth very dry?
I don't have. Seem like I have that much. But I have it this morning. Sometimes I work out with it a little bit. But it seemed like it peaks more or less in the afternoon.
Okay. All right. So less likely to be acid reflux then.
Well, I do have GERD.
You do. Okay, that could be the cause of it. It may be coming up when you don't know it and burning things a little bit. So you might want to do some things to keep that in check a little bit more. Eat very simple meals for a while.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Yeah, and so do that and take whatever you need to take to keep that acid down for a while and see if that helps.
Well, Ativan
is for the anxiety.
I know it is, yeah. But it seems like when I take that, after about an hour, it kind of clears up.
Well, yeah, it may be because the nerves, there's too much excitement in the nervous system in that area, and so it may be calming down the neurology that's leading to it, or it may just calm you down enough that you don't notice it.
Well, yeah, I think maybe you got that about right, too.
Yeah, because Ativan's pretty strong. So if it works, that's great. But I would go ahead and make those few changes, add a couple things to your supplements.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking my call.
It's a horrible problem. Like I said, the woman that was here last week was just in agony. So
sometimes it gets seem like unbearable, and you don't seem like you, whatever you do, you don't do no good.
Right.
But I belong to Kaiser Foundation. I've talked to 5 different doctors, 2 psychologists, and an even a psychiatrist. And he looked at me and he said, I never heard of nothing like that. I even told him that I had the name of it. He said, I ain't never heard of nothing. Even a neurologist told me he had never heard the word burning mouth.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
That is horrible.
Yeah, when your acupuncturist knows about it. Anyway.
Thanks so much. For
you're very welcome. You take care and good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Couple things that I want to mention. I sometimes like to say I told you so about things. I'm human. Usually, I hope that I'm going to be wrong when I put things out. And unfortunately, in the case of vitamins and supplements and your ability to get them, I'm very accurate and very right in this case. And it's almost too late to protect your rights to be able to buy supplements, in my opinion. There are thousands of petitions that have gone to the FDA, but there are a couple of things that are very, very disturbing. One of my patients yesterday came in and gave me some news, and I almost really didn't believe it, and so I had to go on and Google it. And I'm going to read, this is from Natural News from Thursday, February 2nd, and this is a quote. It's from their newsletter here. It says, the one man this is not my position, this is their position, I want to be clear about that. The one man who may be responsible for more food-related illnesses and deaths than anyone in history. Now, that's pretty intense, but this is what they're thinking. And they say Michael Taylor, who's just been promoted from U.S. Food Safety Czar to Senior Advisor to the Commissioner of the FDA, a position which would enable the giant biotech company Monsanto to silently and legally feed cancer-causing vegetables to every living person who's not 100% strictly organic. Now, I don't know. I do know this. Anytime you take executives from the pharmaceutical industry and bring them into the FDA, this ever-increasing spiral of integration of those organizations, which should never, ever be integrated, never, because the FDA is supposed to be the watchdog. They're supposed to be looking over and monitoring these companies. And so when the heads of the FDA come from those companies, it's impossible to do the job appropriately for two reasons. One, you know, certainly their entire training and allegiance has been to that. But even more importantly, when you watch these ties, these people end up then going back to these mega producers, these giants, and making phenomenal amounts of money after they leave the FDA. So, again, there are petitions out there. Hopefully you'll get involved and do something about this, because this will simply not only further the issues that the Natural News is saying, but also we're going to see then really passage of more draconian laws about supplements, because it just interferes with their bottom line. So, anyway, please go online, check these out, and add your voice. Now, before I look this up, I had another interesting piece of news, and this is kind of the I told you so thing. Dave Stouter, and probably anybody you listen to that's concerned on the radio, keeps telling you, you're going to see more and more and more negative hit pieces about natural medicine, because this is a purposeful ramp up to get these laws passed. And boy, yesterday, unbelievable, February 8th, so I've spoken many times about Medscape. Medscape is the newsletter, the online newsletter, that's directed at doctors primarily, but other people in healthcare. And on a typical day, they might have, there's a section called Experts Weigh In, and they'll have new discoveries in diabetes care, new discoveries in cardiovascular care, et cetera. And then there's news section where they'll have three or four studies, and then it'll say other studies, and it will have a variety of information. It'll have case studies. Well, here's yesterday's. The headline, Vitamins and Mortality. That's the headline. Experts Weigh In, Vitamins and Mortality, Some Guidance. Second one, trash the vitamins, convince your patients. Number three, dietary supplements and mortality rates in women, a cautionary tale. The fourth one, vitamins and mortality in defense of supplements, which really wasn't a defense. Okay, then the news, vitamin supplements associated with increased risk for death. Vitamin E supplements may raise the risk for prostate cancer. Vitamin D may not have cardioprotective benefit. So you're seeing all these studies. But here's the key. We must, as a culture, since we are so heavily indoctrinated with this, become better consumers of information. Now, I know that after this has hit the news, that over the next month, I'm going to have 100 patients come in saying, my doctor told me to stop taking all supplements. Oh, I'm scared. My brother said that my supplements will kill me. And I'm going to start hearing that everywhere. Everywhere. And it's going to come right back to this one thing. Now, the first study mentioned is Vitamins and Mortality, an interview with Jocko Mersu. And in this study, they say that in looking at 15 different supplements, they found that there was an increased risk of death with seven of these products. And they listed multivitamins, vitamin B6, folic acid, iron, magnesium, zinc, and copper. And those were all indicated as increasing the death rate. Okay, well, you know, that could be kind of alarming on the surface. But looking through it, there's an interview with this Dr. Mersu. And it says, Medscape, in your study, the supplement users actually had a healthier lifestyle than the non-users at baseline. So they were unlikely to be taking supplements to make up for a deficiency in diet, but prevention and treatment. Okay, that's cool. And Dr. Mersu says that's seems to be the case. But here is the kicker to the entire study. In our study, I'm quoting, among the supplement users, their diet was better. They were exercising more. They were less likely to be smokers, and they were better educated. That's quite an indictment, huh? So if you did not adjust for these factors, now you've got to hear that. If you did not adjust for these factors, the findings would be that these supplements were beneficial. Okay? So if you just take the numbers, they weren't lethal. They didn't kill people. Taking these factors into account in the statistical models, then, is a crucial part of the study. No kidding. You doctored the numbers. I was surprised to see that after adjustments for these factors, supplements seemed to be harmful. Okay? So what did they say? All right, we got these numbers, and people were healthier on supplements and lived longer on supplements. Well, that couldn't be quite right, so we went back and we doctored the numbers to create a new statistical analysis. And once we did that, guess what? They died at a higher rate. That's a lie. These people did not die at a higher rate. It's a statistical lie. What they did is true. Their numbers are accurate. However, the headlines are false. Okay, and this is what you will see 1,000 times. Plus, then you get the, you know, what kind of multivitamins were they using? Or did they get them from one of the big box stores, etc.? But not even going there. They doctored the numbers. Now, I mentioned four studies. The second one, trash the vitamins, convince your patients. This was written by Vega and Kulchiawat. The study under discussion by Murso and colleagues. Okay, so now we have this flawed study. The second article is basing their statement of trash your vitamins on the first flawed study where the numbers were doctored. Third one, vitamin supplements associated with increased risk for death. It looks like a separate study. It's not. Here's a quote. Jocko Murso, PhD from the Department of Health Sciences, Institute of Public Health, etc., and colleagues reported their findings in the October 10th issue of Archives of Internal Medicine. So once again, they didn't do their own research. They may not have even read the research. I don't know. But they're now going back and quoting that research, which was flawed, which was taken out of context, and they created a new statistical analysis. Now, the reason this is so significant is you're going to see more and more of these hit pieces coming out every day. And I probably won't talk about it anymore because I don't want to bore you to death with this, but this is how propaganda gets spread. You have someone doctor a study, and by doctor I mean they may have been well-meaning, I have no idea, but they changed the numbers that they use for the statistical analysis. They give a false headline, and everybody else starts reporting that false headline. It gets on Medscape, and then it gets propagated wildly, which is what propaganda does. So I'm not saying you should take supplements willy-nilly. I don't know. I'm not your care provider. I would only know if you should take a supplement if I see you. But don't use these hit pieces as reasons to make your decision. Okay, another phone call.
Hi. I loved your show. And anyway, I have a friend that has pretty severe arthritis in her hands, and she's a sculptor, which is a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, like her fingers swell up and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very painful. So is there anything, what should she do?
Oh, there not only are things, we treat this every day here in the clinic. I think I had two patients yesterday, very similar. One guy has to work with his hands a lot, and he was basically to the point of being non-functional.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is, particularly when you have swelling, like that. In Chinese medicine, we describe these conditions that are called arthritis in the West. There are a couple hundred different types of arthritis. And arthritis, it's important to remember, isn't a disease. It is a description. So when someone says, or a doctor says you have arthritis, what that means is in the arthro, in the joints, you have an itis, which is an inflammation. And so there are, again, a couple of hundred things identified, probably far more than that now. There were a couple hundred the last time I studied it, of things that are identified as being causative or at least descriptive of different types of itises that affect the arthros. In Chinese medicine, it's a little bit simpler. We identify it as B syndrome generally, which is a blockage and impediment syndrome, and it's grossly divided into hot and cold. And hot will be red and inflamed and typically red. So it'll be a hot condition. You can actually touch the hand and feel heat. or as a cold B, where it's more of an erosion, like overuse, overwork type thing, where the joints have become damaged. Mm-hmm. That will tend to be colder. It'll be affected by cold. You know, if someone's in the cold, then cold B will be worse. With hot B, if you're in the heat, it will get worse. And so they're diagnostic in that way. Now, within the cold B syndrome, it could be cold damp, so dampness. So like mornings like this in Alameda, where it's cold and damp, those people are really in a lot of agony, and they'll get a lot of swelling often in the joints at that time. And so in Chinese medicine, we would kind of break it down in those ways. We have many formulas that treat very specific types of B syndrome or arthritis. So from a Chinese medical standpoint, or from my standpoint, as a patient comes in, arthritis responds very well to acupuncture. Numerous studies, well-done scientific studies, showing that acupuncture is effective and indeed precisely what the mechanisms of action are in many cases to get rid of those problems. So that's number one. I would start them with acupuncture or electroacupuncture. Two, either we would or we would have the patient massage in liniments. We have liniments for hot B. We have liniments for cold B. If it's a cold B condition, I would want them to buy one of the little paraffin baths that you can pick up either online or some of the drug stores, things like that. And it's just hot wax. And you put your hands in there, and it'll bring tremendous relief. It won't fix the condition long term, but it will really bring a lot of relief. And so that's if it's a cold B. So we would do massage in liniments and then send the patient home with liniments to massage in. And we would do an herbal formula. There's hundreds of different impediment formulas. We have those in capsules. I have one called Impediment Magic. And it's kind of a generalized formula for that type of arthritic pain. But then, you know, if we mix the herbs in powders, then we can modify those an infinite number of ways. And long term, the herbs are going to be very helpful. Once I determine what seems to be the causative factor, I will then also usually give them supplements of different kinds. For example, if it's a high uric acid buildup, like a gouty problem, a gout that's affecting the hands, then I would give them a set of supplements for that. If it's a rheumatoid problem where there's disfiguration of the joints, that is a pathogenic problem, a pathogen, often a mycoplasma, but it can be a variety of different organisms that are physically in the joints, eating away, and then the body, in trying to kill those organisms, mounts an immune response, which then becomes an autoimmune response because the immune system misidentifies one's own body tissues as the foreign invader. And so that gets very tricky. A lot of these organisms that cause that problem actually hide inside the white blood cells that are designed to kill them. And so it's very hard to get at them, and it's very easy for that misidentification to occur because the organisms are often coated with cholesterol as they come out of the cells, and the immune system gets confused, and it runs rampant. And so you get these over-release of chemicals called cytokines, which then causes more damage. So that would be on that other side. If it's an actual erosion of the joint from overwork, nothing that we do is likely to bring that back. We would be looking more at reducing pain. However, if it's in the cartilage, there are a lot of things that can be done to actually support and regrow cartilage. Chiropractors, naturopaths, and acupuncturists would use a lot of glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, hyaluronic acid are kind of the typical things. In Chinese medicine, then we would add some other things to help in that process also.
Mm-hmm. It is in her family.
Pardon me?
It's in her family.
Okay. So rheumatoid in particular has a strong familial organization. Do her hands get red and swollen, and are they getting disfigured?
A little bit. It's just starting. That's
okay. Well, she should get it fixed quickly. The number one thing, though, with anybody with an arthritic problem is I would insist that they go on a 3-week detox diet to remove the foods that are likely to be causing some, they will leak into the humoral immunity system and will cause massive inflammation. And I would say 50% of my patients who have arthritic problems feel dramatically better after we get them on that 3-week detox. They're kind of resistant. It's like, oh, yeah, right, how could this help? But it makes a huge difference. The nightshade vegetables are notorious for causing arthritic problems, by the way, tomatoes, eggplant, peppers, et cetera, the things in that family. So we just get people off of all those foods for 3 weeks.
And wheat?
Pardon me?
Wheat?
Wheat is probably the number one cause of inflammatory response in the body. And it's actually really cool. You know, I've been preaching this for about, I almost died from wheat problems 30-some years ago. So I've been preaching the gospel a long time. My hero in Chinese medicine was preaching that gospel in 1250 A.D., so 750 years, right? So everybody talks about this as a fad. There are wheat-free diets in the Bible, mentioned in the Bible. So these are not new issues. It's just that medicine takes so long to get around to this stuff, you know, biomedicine. But the great news, one of my patients had hives, a 9-year-old, and we came up with a formula and cleared the hives in a couple days. But I said, go to the dermatologist. And so I went to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist said, and don't eat wheat. So they're coming around. Because 2 years ago, less than 1% of dermatologists would have said, don't eat wheat. Also, I broke my foot. I went to my podiatrist. He did his stuff on my foot, and he said, and make sure you don't eat wheat because it's inflammatory. So the word's getting out. So wheat, yes, and I often forget to mention that because it's just kind of so obvious to me. But yes, wheat is very problematic. So any of the glutinous grains, but wheat in particular. But I would have them do a 3-week detox. There are a variety of companies that create products for that, and we see a lot of patients with that.
Would you give me an example of what are the detox?
Yeah, you're removing lectin-dense foods. So there are a whole list of foods to eliminate. Soy, most legumes, wheat, and all grains except rice, dairy. These are kind of the prime things that you'd want to get rid of. Sugar, just the things that we know tend to be a problem.
Things that we live on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly, right? And then eat a lot more of the foods that we know that are good for us and don't cause those problems.
Okay.
And it's pretty simple. There are a lot of companies that make these. I use one by Thorne, T-H-O-R-N-E, which also has a product to consume while you're doing that, which lowers inflammation. And it's startling, really. My patients just can't believe the differences. And in rheumatoid, that's particularly a problem. But she's got to see someone that's going to treat the underlying problem, which is infection actually in those joints. If you can get a doctor, and they rarely will do it, that will take fluid out of those synovial spaces, they always find a pathogen. I mean, and the pathogens are, you know, they're lists of them, but rarely do they get treated. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, just two little quickies. One, when you were talking about the statistics thing, I started out in college in chemistry, so I had to take a lot of, you know, heavy-duty math. Up to, you know,
calculus
4
and all. I bow to you.
And then when I switched to psychology, I had to take a statistics class, and I was appalled.
I know, isn't it amazing?
I was appalled at what they did with math. I mean, talk about sloppy and just do whatever you want. It was amazing.
It was just very sloppy
from a mathematician's point of view.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a true mathematician, when you see what gets done with statistics, your mouth would drop. Like I said, when I looked at this study, it's like, because I, you know, if it's true, if what they're saying is true, well, then I would want to warn my patients.
Yeah.
But what's particularly striking in all four of these studies that I mentioned, it doesn't give the statistics or how they arrived at them. So I'll have to go back and pull that study from the archives and see what kind of magic they did to it. Yeah, I mean, one of my frequent callers, he works on very, very high-level statistical analysis and stuff. And he said, I took this into my instructor who really didn't understand it, and he said, oh, well, just change those numbers over there. And
See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
From a mathematician point of view, you can take numbers and turn them any way you want to. It's disgusting.
What number do you utilize to adjust for this healthier lifestyle?
Right.
So you just pick one, and you can always pick one that will make it look bad if that's what you're setting out to do. So, yeah, for a mathematician, I would think that has to be just horrific.
And then, of course, at the end of all their studies, to cover their tail, they always say, and further research needs to be done.
Exactly, on everything.
Kind of bullshit. But, and just one other quick thing. I love all your programs, but especially the ones that are on the changes that we need to make in different seasons. And I am hoping that you write that in a book one of these days.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart. I hope so, too.
Okay.
I'm going to be doing one on spring fairly soon because we're getting there.
Good.
So,
okay.
All right. You know, and the feedback I get, those seem to be the shows that people do most enjoy.
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, it's so practical. Yeah, great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Be well.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, that must just make true mathematician just nuts to see how these things. And see, the point is it's arbitrary. And by that, I mean, Mark Twain said, I think, lies, damn lies, and statistics, right? You can make anything up. Okay, let's go ahead and take another call. Hello.
Hey, morning, John. It's Phil Cisneros.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was talking, I don't know if you were listening to the show earlier, but I was thanking you again for letting us play your song.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. And, of course, I wanted to let you know that I voted for you for Barry as number one acupuncturist.
Why, thank you. I didn't know that that had started already, but I certainly appreciate the vote of confidence.
Yep, I did, and it's already started, and just know of your great work with people, and, of course, been listening to your shows for how many years now since you've been on?
Yeah, seems like forever. I think it's been 6 years now.
Yeah, and also, just wanted you to know that what I do, for those who don't know out there, is I'm a consultant. I consult people and businesses and also practices and anything they're up to that's great in contributing to people's lives. And I've just been consulting a keto practice down in the Ventura County area.
Uh-huh.
And I've been consulting. It's the man who's managing it and running it. And it's just been really fascinating work with him, and also about, you know, how we use energy and how we're responsible for our energy and the way bodies are aligned with energy around us. And the one thing I want to say about, you know, what you're doing, not only with diet, but because diet also impacts capacity for energy to flow. And as you were mentioning with the wheat earlier, but also the practice of acupuncture that allows for a body to move easily through space, you know, and through any time that we have something that's going on with the body, it's usually an imbalance, as I've learned from you. And the same thing goes on with Aikido. If you're not addressing anything responsibly that's coming at you, and then you're off balance. You know, and I'm just amazed at the similarities of acupuncture and Aikido, and as you know, Aikido's been around for a long time, just as acupuncture and mm-hmm. and Chinese herbal medicine. So, for anybody out there in the audience, I highly recommend and suggest you see John if you haven't, in balancing the energy flow in your body and also your capacity to just go through life and go through life balanced, and when you're off balance, get a treatment. So anyways, I guess I'm just promoting you today.
Well, thanks, Phil. That's great. I appreciate it. That's really heartwarming for me. You bring up the Aikido, and I did Chinese martial arts mostly, but my teacher really studied everything and was a world martial arts champion in 1978 when that title was really a big deal, because there was only one tournament. And he studied a lot of Aikido. He studied with a fellow in San Francisco who was just brilliant and brought a lot of Aikido energetics into our Taiji, because they're not really separate or different. It's just a little different flavor to it. I remember occasionally would have video night, bring in popcorn and sit in the dojo and watch movies. And watching videos of the founder of Aikido, Ueshiba. In fact, and those films, they were home movies. They were done by Steven Seagal.
Really? Oh, my God.
I didn't know that. Notice it the first couple times I saw the movies, because I didn't know who Seagal was. And then it was like, oh, my God, that's Steven Seagal. Yeah, he was doing these videotapes. One of them shows this master on a rooftop in the 1950s, and he's trying to teach a bunch of Marines. And there are like six or seven of these giant, burly Marines. And Ueshiba is, I don't know how big, but like 5'2" or 5'3" or something. And so he says, all right, I want you to throw me on the ground, you know, grab me. And the only thing that's hard for him is to not have these people hurt themselves, right? But you watch, and he's there, and he's completely surrounded by these burly guys who are clearly not cooperating with him. And in almost faster than you can tell what happened, he steps outside, and all six of them fall down. Well, that's pretty impressive. But then it shows him just before he died. He had stomach cancer. They carried him from his bed and put him on the mat. And they said once he got on the mat, the chi, this vital energy, made him completely, I mean, he couldn't even take care of himself. But once he got on the mat, the entire universe changed. And it showed him using the wooden swords, and people would attack him. He would beat them or throw them out of the dojo if they didn't attack him with 100% intention. He said, if you don't do that, it's too dangerous. And so these guys are really trying to attack him. And with a flick of this practice sword that is almost undetectable, and sometimes it is undetectable, you see these big fifth-degree Aikido guys just flying through the air. So as he got older and feebler, his energy got even more powerful, and his ability to blend with life and the energies of life got even more and more impressive. And so if you get a chance, ask the guy down there if he has access to those videos, because they are absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, I'm sure he does, and I'll check on it. And but yeah, that's really amazing, really amazing. So I've actually gone through some of the first practices of the Aikido training. He's actually given me some techniques. It's been really amazing, but learning a lot. And so just thought I'd thank you for, you know, what you've contributed to people and their energy flow through acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, their diets. You know, because it's really vital that all of that is integral to having a balanced energy level in your body and going through life that way.
Well, so, thank you, Phil, for bringing that up and mentioning it, and thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, no problem. Anyways, John, great to listen to your show. Even though I'm living here in San Luis Obispo, I can go online and listen to your show every week and always get something from it. So thanks for your contribution to humanity and your Bay Area. And oh, I'll never forget. When we first looked at, we were talking about your radio show, and I said the word global.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yes.
Now you're getting calls from all over the world, which I really love.
Yeah, it's so fun. Yeah, it's just so fun to know that you're in some way touching people to really support their inquiry. It makes me very happy.
Yeah, so great work, John, and have a great day today, and look forward to seeing you next week.
Okay, Phil, you take care. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye bye.
Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, hello. This is Joy in Burlingame.
Uh-huh.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
I would like to ask you a question. Uh-huh. I am 75 years old and in relatively good shape. I don't smoke and don't drink, and I work out. But lately, I'm suffering quite a bit from anxiety and nervousness and a little depression, but not without a cause. I mean, this, with the economy and everything going on right now and family and children, and you know, they unload on me, and I feel depressed because of all this. But I don't want to go on to any antidepressant, and I was just wondering, is perhaps something that you could suggest that is not so harmful as these antidepressants and have so many bad side effects?
Well, a couple things. One, I could probably come up with 1,000 things, but there are several that are much better. On the one hand, we have things that are moderately effective. Like antidepressants, by the way, are historically very poor in their effect. The results in many studies are lower than placebo, and some are just a little bit higher than placebo. They do all have side effects, so we have that on the one hand. And then on the other hand, we have all these different practices and things that we can do that not only are more effective at treating the anxiety, and particularly depression, more effective at treating the depression, and are only good for your body. So, for example, I don't know how many there are, but I've read dozens of individual studies about exercise being far superior to antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds in most cases, unless it's very severe anxiety, more effective than the drugs. That's one. Two, any mindfulness practice, whether it's Tai Chi or Qigong or Vipassana or some form of meditation, those very consistently outperform the antidepressants and in many cases the anti-anxiolytics. So those are the first two things to think of. And congratulations on being 75 years old and for being in good health. And those are the two most important things to maintain your health as you're going forward are a good exercise program and a good mindfulness meditation program of whatever type you pick. Some people do prayer, but any of those can help significantly with the anxiety.
Well, because I go up and down, you know, I'm not constantly in it, but I hate it because I'm basically a very positive person, but some of the things that are going on in our lives right now are kind of knocking me a bit.
Well, that's one of the things is retraining our responses, right?
Ah.
Right? And that's the difficult thing. And we all suffer from some, or almost all of us, but certainly I, suffer from some inabilities to control. Now, I have particular things that I do. For example, I've spoken on the air about certain practices that are common in Zen, they're common in Taiji, etc., but I bring my attention to my lower dantian, this area below my navel, and I actually hold my breath. And in doing that, it feels like I'm holding my breath in my brain. And what actually happens is it will cease thought. And so as my brain starts to run away, you know, we get on this like a runaway freight train of this obsessive thinking. Because if we're not thinking about these, you know, negative things, then we don't have the anxiety response. And so training ourselves so that we can do that through the breathing techniques or through that ceasing of thought. And that's what I do myself, because I have lots of things that I could become very anxious over, from dealing with my patients to being the president of an acupuncture, all of these things in life. And so I am constantly, when I say constantly, I mean all day long, I am practicing those methods of controlling my thoughts. Because if I don't do that...
Well, you know, many times when I really feel awful, I keep trying to get rid of these bad thoughts by replacing them by good thoughts and positive thoughts. And sometimes, though, it doesn't always work. And I just don't like to be in that terrible state of mind.
It's very difficult.
It really is. But somebody suggested, and I have actually bought it, and it's called, I'm going to spell this for you, it's supposed to make you feel better. It's a vitamin. It's R-H-O, D like dog.
Yeah, rhodiola.
Yeah.
Rhodiola. Yeah, there are many, many. The Chinese, for example, there's a formula which is my go-to anti-anxiety formula. And between Christmas and New Year's, the week before Christmas until New Year's this last year, I saw more anxiety-ridden patients than I have ever seen at any time in my practice. We keep a large stock of this formula in powdered form. We keep a large stock in pill form. And we ran out in a matter of days because the anxiety level in the culture is so high. It's almost unbelievable, really, what's been created in the culture.
What is it?
I can't say for sure that this is the right formula for you, but the formula is called Chai Hu Jia Long Mu Tong. So that'll be on our website, the spelling. You can look it up there. It's Chai Hu Jia Long Mu Tong. And it is an 1,800-year-old formula. It's from the Shang Han Lun. And the functions of it are to harmonize a particular type of heat, but it settles sprite and quiets the spirit. And so what happens is, at the same time, gives you more energy. So it treats this vacuity in the interior, but at the same time, it settles and calms the spirit. So we use this with manic disorders, anxiety, even schizophrenia. This is used in Chinese hospitals. And so it's Chai Hu Jia Long Mu Tong. You can get it with or without an herb called dahuang.
Can I disclose that Dave Apple Health Food?
I doubt it. This is something that's really you'd get from a Chinese herbalist.
Here. Yeah.
But where do you live?
I live in Burlingame.
Oh, there are plenty of people over there. I would say go in for an appointment, see someone over there, see an acupuncturist. And you mentioned this formula. I mean, they'll come up with whatever they like. But for this type of thing, and so I will give it to my patients, or I gave it to my patients, in this case, probably 20 or 30 people.
But I'd prefer to see you. You know, if I'm going to have to, I would prefer to see you. Can you just give me your phone number?
I can. It's 510.
Yes.
814.
14.
6900.
6900.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if I'm going to see somebody, it's going to be you because, you know, I've listened to you a lot and you seem to really just hit the nail right where it's supposed to be.
I don't seem too crazy to you?
No, still crazy, no.
By the way, just so that you know, I had just a whole series of really difficult things hit at once, tons of things. And I took this formula for about a week, and it really made a difference for me. This was about 6 months ago. So it's one that I've tested on myself, and I have lots of patients, and I would be delighted to meet you.
Oh, it'd be my pleasure, privilege. It's not habit forming or anything like that.
No. You know, habit forming is a tough one. It's very different than an addiction, right? So habit forming, actually, I find that acupuncture is habit forming in that people feel so phenomenally good and different after they get acupuncture that they want to get it all the time. So it's habit forming in that way, in that people feel good. It's not habit forming in that you develop a dependence on it like you would on a drug. And there's no withdrawal. There are no problems like that. But I do find that, like, for example, with this formula, we would often have patients do this 2 to 3 times a day for a week to 2 weeks. And then after that, they'll find that usually they don't need it much, but they'll keep a bottle around and kind of use it as an anti-anxiety medication mm-hmm. when things pop up. And so mm-hmm. in that way, I guess one could consider it habit-forming, but I don't consider it habit-forming in a negative way. Because the thing that's important to remember is that these are all herbs that are really foods, that we're just basically altering your diet, and we're giving you high concentrations of certain things that are mm-hmm. very calming. So it's not like a pharmaceutical drug that is a chemical that is overriding your body. What this is doing is supporting your body to function in the way that it was designed to function. So it's a really different way of looking at it.
I just can't stand it sometimes how I feel, you know, and it's awful.
I know. It's horrible. It's, you don't even want to be in your own skin probably at times.
Yeah. And I really work hard at it by not, as I said, by not taking any antidepressant, anything. I do exercise, and I do a lot of all that stuff, and I'm thin. And so all this is good, but just the mind.
Did you say you were thin?
I'm thin, yeah.
Yes.
I'm thin.
This type of condition often will affect thin people more.
Yeah,
because there's a yin deficiency often that goes along with that. And part of what this formula does is to work with that yin deficiency.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All righty.
So thank you so much. So if I'm going to see anybody, it'll be you, because I feel good when I talk to you.
Thank you for the vote of confidence. I appreciate it.
What about this one more quickie thing? Rhodiola
is fine. It's often called poor man's ginseng because it's very inexpensive. I think it's safe for everybody. It's an adaptogen, meaning that it allows people to deal with stress more effectively. It's probably not going to be enough by itself. You know, it's the only herb that went into space with all the cosmonauts. The Russians sent everybody up with it because it helped them adapt to their environment more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very good. I love it. I particularly love it because it's very inexpensive. So I would say, you know, go ahead and keep taking it. I have seen no ill effects from rhodiola at all.
Do I take one or two a day?
I don't know what the extraction is. I would just follow the directions on the bottle because, you know, they can extract it at, you know, 5 times or 10 times or probably 50 times. And so that would
500 mg per capsule.
Okay. Does it say, well, yeah, go ahead and just follow their directions and see if that helps.
Thank you so much. You're just wonderful.
Thank you. Please don't
ever leave us.
All righty. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, it's a very sweet day. Everybody being so kind to me, I really appreciate it. Well, we have come down to the end of our time. I want to remind you that the shows are replayed on Saturday, and they're generally up and on our website, which is thebalancingpoint.net, thebalancingpoint.net, and they're generally up within a week, depending on my wife's schedule. And they're fully indexed so that you can go back and find any of the shows we've talked about, particular conditions. So please go to our website. Also, while you're there, sign up for our free newsletter, Gmail. All righty. Have a great week. Be happy. I'll be back to talk to you at 7 o'clock on Monday with Dave, and then at 9 o'clock by myself. Thank you.